Hello again, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 239 of the NLSC podcast. I'm Andrew, with you as always. With me as always is Ben, also known as Arcane.
Hey, everyone.
And we're coming at you on a brand new looking site, kind of, Ben.
Yep. And a brand new day, and technically from when we're recording today.
We are recording it a day earlier, but it's probably going to go up on the usual day, depending on when I schedule it and finish editing, of course. But yes, we did launch a new design. It's a bit of a soft launch, really, for both the forum and the main page. It has been something we've been working on in the background here and there, but wasn't actually supposed to go live just yet. And interesting story behind this, Ben.
Yeah.
Basically, I've been holding off updating the old theme we've been using for our old design because we have a test site where we test out new designs and plugins and other things that we're looking to implement on the main site or forum. New software, it's new plugins, etc. And basically, I found that the updated version of the theme we were using, that our old design was based on, I tried updating it on the test site, and it basically broke. It wasn't working properly. So I had been holding off updating it on the live site, on the actual NLSC itself. And wouldn't you know, I updated it the other day. I clicked update on it, and it broke everything. It broke the site. I tried to roll back. That just made everything worse. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and launch this new design right now. So we ended up launching that on March 1st. So it looks like I planned it to start a brand new month with a brand new design. But no, it was serendipity, I guess. We were able to get the new design up there accidentally. But no, I'm quite happy with how it turned out, although we are doing a little bit more tweaking. So if you see something a bit weird, a bit spacing on some of the text, like the headings or some colors are a little bit off, don't freak out. I'm still fixing things up because the design was about 99.9% ready to go, but there's just that little bit left of tweaking left to do. So it's I guess Ben, it's it pays to be prepared, kind of, maybe.
Yeah. Always have something in the back pocket, as they say, just in case. So yeah, the backup site was definitely very handy for that.
Could have been a lot worse, but there it is anyway. So I hope everybody likes the new design, and in the forum, it's pretty much the same, especially the forum. We're not changing color scheme this time or anything, but wanted to get a cleaner design out there and one that's will work a little bit better with our subsites and everything. And of course, you'll see that on the tags are on the posts now. If you go to the posts on the main page, the articles and the news posts, you'll find the tags. So you'll find lots of easier ways to get around. Just basically make it more modern, Ben.
Yeah, I reckon it looks a bit cleaner from what I've seen so far, and just sharper as well. So, yeah, so
premium theme. I actually
cleaner and clearer, I think, was the term that I've been.
That's
using.
That's what you said. Yeah, and I agree. It was definitely worth spending the money to get some of the plugins and themes, the premium theme for this one. So, as I said, hopefully everyone enjoys the design, and we'll do a bit more tweaking as well. The other thing we've tipped off this month is March Modness. This is what I was alluding to last week with modding plans for March, and basically it is a contest for modders. That's the main thing we're running. Anyone who uploads work to our download section and hosts it on the site and puts March Modness in the description goes into the running to win a copy of either NBA Live 19 or NBA 2K19 later this year. There are additional terms and conditions of entry which are posted in the forum and on the main page where I announced that. But basically, just a way to give back to the modding community and celebrate modding and, of course, promote our download section. We want to get the work in there and stuff preserved for future generations, so to speak. We've had too much work disappear over the years, so we definitely want people making use of our upload facilities. But at the same time, obviously want to give back to the modding community for everything they've done. And also, Ben, I'm looking to release some of my own work. I've been working on a few things in the background, want to get back into modding a little bit. In between my feature articles and, of course, the podcast, all the other content that I do these days, and actually put out a patch for the first time in a while the other day, NBA Live 18 title screen for Live 2005 to 2008.
Yeah, it turned out well. Nice little way to modernize it.
It's basically taking a screenshot of the Live 18 title screen and just pasting in. It is a patch I think I made in about 5 minutes, maybe took me, and then maybe more if you include testing it, making sure it's going to work properly, because it's the same file that'll work across the four games. So just making sure that I didn't need to import it into other files, that it was going to work properly, and yes, it does. So I thought, well, there's no point doing four different files. I'll just put it up there and say, yes, this is compatible with the four. So you can find that in the Live 08 section. It's posted on the main page, of course, and in my release threads in the forum. Just little things like that. I do have some bigger projects still. The Ultimate Jordan roster, Ben, with the 15 yep. Jordan teams and the 15 opponents. That's the base. If I can add some more teams to it, I will as well. But basically celebrating Michael Jordan's career. Currently working on the Live 08 version to convert it backwards to 2005 to 07. I'm looking at getting that out on March 28th because that will be the anniversary, the 28th anniversary of his 69-point game.
So you definitely want to get it out before then.
Absolutely.
Or out by then, I should say.
And the team that he was, the 1990 Bulls team that he scored the 69 points playing for, and the 1990 Cavs team that he scored it against, they are in the mod. So you can actually check out a demo version of the mod. It's in the forum at the moment, in the download section, I should say. But I've got a bit more of a full version coming, and it's one of those mods where I just want to release it incrementally. Like I remember really burning myself out trying to do the rosters back in the day, getting it all done instead of doing some incremental updates.
Yep.
So I'm trying to do those demo releases and just some smaller releases here and there. But yeah, just seeing what we can do to celebrate the modding community. And if this takes off and people like it, maybe it can become an annual thing.
Yeah, I reckon that'd be a good thing. You know, I think definitely we'll continue the community gaining interest in modding and stuff. So I think definitely, and with the prizes and stuff, I think definitely worth the incentive.
I'm certainly hoping so, that people will try that out for a free game, basically. And of course, closer to release, we'll also be having contests to give away copies to anyone, basically. This contest is just for modders, because we haven't really done anything like that before, but we will also have one just as we've done in the past, just having giveaways in general. So look out for that later this year. Obviously, quite a few months to go. We don't even have a preview season yet. That's still a few months away, and I guess August basically, based on previous seasons. June kind of hints at it, but
yeah, well, maybe at E3. I mean, Life did make an appearance at E3, so during the EA Play. So
EA Play, yeah.
You know, can always hope for a repeat of that, you know. And so hopefully that's when we'll start getting a little bit of a look into the games.
Definitely. And until then, of course, another reminder to contribute to our wish lists, both NBA Live 19 and NBA 2K19. But stay tuned for March Modness. I'm quite happy with that. And I do love that logo you made as well, based on the NCAA March Madness logo. Yeah, I do like that. I used the one that I made, the teaser, as the splash screen, and then I used your logo for the announcement. So.
Yep. Yeah, I was happy to do that one. That was pretty much, like, when you said that, March Madness, I was like, it's the first thing that sort of came to mind. And it was kind of in regards to that version of the logo. There's a more modern one that they have now, which has more of, like, the brackets. But that, for me, was one that I associated with, like, the whole sort of March Madness element. So
it's a good, clean design,
Yeah.
But
And it made use of being able to have like the
our logo and everything,
yeah,
absolutely. So
what's good is I was actually able to get the exact fonts and everything, so I had the exact fonts, so
yeah, I forget what it's called, but it's basically just like a college imitation font,
yeah, probably like Sports Jersey, I think the name of the font,
something like that, College Condensed, something, yeah. That whatever they've called it, but they're basically the same kind of one. But so we were able to put in a couple of good teasers there. Already got a mod out there, and I know we've got a couple of entries so far as the March Modness contest from the modders, but hope everyone enjoys the event, and yeah, we'll look to make it an event in future years if it takes off. But in the meantime, yeah, just want to do something good and really promote our modding community, because we've done some great work over the years, and I'd like to think you and I, Ben, have done a contributed to that over the years too.
Yeah, definitely. I think we've been obviously a big part of the community and being able to get some of our work in. Obviously your rosters and my jerseys and things like that.
The Dorner Pack.
The art stuff that I've done, yeah. And even like the All-Star Weekends or sort of Dunk Contest or Street Pack stuff and all
that. Yeah, that came out a couple of years ago. So
yeah,
we still release things every now and again. We like to keep our eye sharp, so to speak, and we make a comeback every so often. It's not like it's not like players from the 80s or 90s trying to make a comeback in their 50s, where modding is not necessarily a young man's game or a young lady's game, for that matter. We have we've had a couple of ladies in the modding community over the years, and including one at the moment. Shout out to you. I know you listen with authority. So yeah, stay tuned and hopefully you enjoy what's coming. So getting to some news this week, it's again, we are a long way away from the preview season, and there's not a whole lot of events going on with the games at the moment, although there are some things going on, as we will get into shortly. But the first thing we want to talk about is that NBA Live 18 is among the best-selling and most popular games, at least, in the PSN store as of late. And that's obviously really great news for a game that has struggled to get sales in recent years and get that foothold back in the market and compete with 2K in quality and sales. But people are picking it up, and it is being quite popular, at least in far as digital sales, which is certainly promising for the future.
Yeah, I just checked the US PSN, and it was the first game titled in most popular. So that was really cool to see. Hopefully it bodes well with you know, the additional stuff that they've been doing and working on during and adding into this game over the past 6 or so months. Yeah.
So this is obviously digital sales. Do you see the game perhaps going digital only at all? Certainly to cut costs and to perhaps be cheaper and be able to get out there at all? Or do you think this is just... obviously the digital sales... The discounts on the digital version have been very beneficial to the numbers. We talked about this last week as well, and this proves how much of a good idea it's been for EA to do. But do you think it might go digital only in the future?
It wouldn't surprise me. I think that'll be a way a lot of titles will go in that sort of sense. I think too, like, given the last couple of years of Live, some stores didn't buy Live 16 to actually sell.
Mm.
Like, finding Live 16 in Australia was actually quite difficult. There was only a few stores that did have it. So that was, yeah, a bit of a surprise. I think you're able to find Live 14 and even some 15s in that. And I think just given how they didn't sell, a lot of the stores went, we'll cut our losses in terms of it, and we won't purchase unless, you know, things pick up and that. So I can definitely see it, you know, if they're trying to rebuild it or, you know, get the franchise back up to where it needs to be until, you know, it starts getting those, you know, big number sales again, like, whereas multiple million.
Yeah.
I think it might be an option that EA do take, and, you know, it gives them the ability to control the pricing, and if they definitely want to try and keep it low, like what they've been doing with Live 18 so far to re-engage interest, I think it might be their way of going about it in that sense.
Yeah, and it has obviously paid off, and it's interesting you mention that, because I have noticed, even looking at JB Hi-Fi website, because I've gone digital the last few years, but I've kind of wanted a physical copy as well, just for my collection, for the shelf kind of thing, for Live, and I've really had to go to eBay to look and see if I can get a cheap secondhand copy of the physical version, and the reason I would like that is, I mean, obviously there is a lot of benefits for going digital and digital only, and obviously the PC version of NBA 2K is digital only. I think some stores actually sell the Steam key in a box or in a card, which is kind of a waste. And yeah, you still got to go home and download it. So it's much better to order it online.
Just online, yeah.
But the problem with digital only is that it's one of those things where nothing is forever kind of thing, where we've seen things pulled from online stores, or streaming services may lose shows when they lose the rights or things like that. And I think that's why I still like physical media, I should say, because obviously it's nice to have it as a collectible on the shelf, something to look at, and you see everything lined up in a row, and that's nice and everything. But if it does get pulled from the digital store, then getting it back again, that's a problem, obviously. Yeah. So having that physical copy, you know, at least you've got that physical copy to have and to continue to play years down the line. And right now, NBA 2K... I think NBA 2K16 is the most recent, or sorry, the oldest game still available on Steam, or it might actually only be down to 17 and 18 now that the 16 servers are offline.
Shut down. Yeah.
But was it 13, 14, 15 have definitely been taken off last time I looked. 10 and 11 are available if you Google them. If you go through Google, you can actually still get to a web-based store page for them and buy them that way. But if you search in the app, the Steam app, you can't actually get to them. Okay. So, and of course, they're still about $50 US. So they haven't been discounted at all. But they're the only other one. They're the only old ones available, and they're still expensive. And you've got to go through Google to actually get to the store page, and not you can't get it through Steam, through the Steam search engine, I should say. So that is the problem with digital. As I said, it disappears, and then you don't have it. So that's why physical media, I think, is as much as people want to say physical media is dead. It's like, well, it still has a use because digital content can be pulled. If you've got the DVD, the Blu-ray, or whatever, or you know, the CD-ROM, if you go back far enough with old games, you know, and we've seen things get pulled from the Nintendo Wii Shop and things like that back in the day. So it's there's still a call for physical media, I feel. So that's my only concern with digital only.
Yeah, I mean, I still tend to buy mostly physical. It's only usually when the game's really on sale is when I'll go digital. And, you know, for me, like, you know, if there's, like, a special edition, like, from one of my favorite studios and that, like, if a game that I particularly like, obviously, again, I'll use Naughty Dog as the prime example of this. You know, if they got their awesome, like, sort of ones that come with, like, statues and other things like that, it's tend to when I'll especially want to go get the physical copy so that way I can get that special edition and all that, where you can't really quite get that same one with digital unless, you know, you somehow manage to get the 3D printed version of the statue in that case. But that's still
harder to pirate feelies, basically. A lot of people, you know, and obviously we do not support pirated versions of the game in our community, just putting it out there once again. But obviously there are people who do, and you know, we can't stop them. We can only ban them if they show up in our community and ask for help with them. But yeah, without a 3D printer, you can't really pirate feelies and statues collectibles. But I mean, obviously, yeah, it's I do like digital. But the other thing with us being in Australia, obviously, is that I'm saying obviously a lot this evening. Obviously, with us being in Australia, internet speeds and data caps. Not the same as the US, so I think that's why physical media still perhaps does a little bit better over here as well. You know, a lot of people who do say that physical media is dead seem to be in the US, where you do have more streaming services and things that aren't available in the Australian version of the streaming service, and generally faster internet, and it's not an issue. I mean, downloading a 50 or 60 gig game these days, you want to have that in your data cap, and you also want to have you want to be able to preload it a couple of days ahead, or otherwise you're not going to be playing it at launch because it's going to take too long. So that is, I guess we're kind of biased in that sense when it comes to digital, but I still think there's a call for physical media, and it's nice to hold something in your hand, basically, to have a copy of something.
I suppose too, yeah, that was the other thing I forgot to mention, why I sort of occasionally prefer buying physical over, if it's the convenience factor. Well, you know, it's like easier just to quickly rush out to the store and back as opposed to downloading the 50, 60 gig game. And mean, I'm like, I got a large data plan, but it just our internet is third world slow.
we're really behind as far as developed nations are concerned. Yeah. But with all that being said, it is great to see Live 18. Doing so well digitally. I did get the digital copy. That's what I pre-ordered, the one edition, and the sales have obviously paid off. And if it comes down to the game having to continue digital only to survive, and if that's how it's going to survive and thrive, so be it. Although I would like to have the physical copy as well for the shelf and the collection. But yeah, no, it's great to see how it succeeded and really ramped up the sales, especially with all the discounts and. Hopefully it continues that momentum into Live 19.
Yeah, I'm hoping so.
And we talk about the strength of the NBA Live brand, and this is something that came up that you pointed out to me. I did actually miss it on social media yesterday when it was posted, I believe. But EA are partnering, and NBA Live in particular, partnering with Sports Crate, which is a a loot crate service, basically, for they've got both Major League Baseball and NBA loot crates, where you can get merch from your favorite team, collectibles, with the loot crate that comes every other month, apparently, according to the information here.
Bi-monthly, yeah.
Not a lot of information about how it's partnered with EA at the moment, but obviously great that they are actually getting these partnerships. That's one of the things that 2K has been doing a lot in the previous year, even this year, of course. Reese's Puffs.
Mountain Dew.
Everything, all the brands. And, the sports games have had the tie-ins for years, going right back to NBA Live 98. There was a lot of advertising in that game, actually. Baby Ruth and all kinds of things like that, if I recall correctly. But it is nice to see EA getting these sponsorships. Obviously, EA, pretty big company, doing pretty well for themselves. But it is really the strength of the NBA Live brand that it is having these partnerships with the clothing brands like Bathing Ape, etc.
Pink Dolphin and Undefeated.
And now to be partnering with Sports Crate for these loot crates. Not much information on how it's going to work with the partnership at the moment, but maybe we might see these loot crates as part of the in-game loot crates as well, possibly. But certainly, they've got a partnership going with there, and it's just good for the brand, I guess.
Yeah, and given, too, that these are coming post-launch as well, these partnerships, so it wasn't something from the launch window or anything, or in what they had partnered up before launch, so I can definitely confirm that from my experience in May. They had, obviously they were still applying a lot of the gear and stuff, especially the Nike uniforms in it. But yeah, there was definitely no talk of this kind of partnership stuff at the event back in May. So the fact, yeah, that they've gotten those clothing brands and this Sports Crate system and that partnership and that post release, for me, indicates a good positive sign that these companies are happy with the product and sales to lend their to do these partnerships with. So that's a good sign and a good step in the direction in a positive direction for EA.
And we talked last week about the possibility of skipping this year, which seems to be a rumor that's somehow spreading around. And I understand how people are skeptical with Live and still a bit skeptical with Live after everything that's happened and not feeling that the game is quite where it needs to be yet. And we're not disputing that there's still a ways to go. But there's been no indication that there's not going to be a Live 19, that they're going to try and skip to 20. I think it would be a bad idea if they did that. They need to keep riding the momentum, as we both agreed last week. And the fact that they're doing things like this does suggest that it's doing well and they're quite happy with the progress. And continuing to go from strength to strength, and obviously that's great, because as we obviously do play NBA 2K, we've played a lot of 2K over the past few years and this year as well, but we've had our quibbles with it, other people have had their quibbles with it. As we've said so many times before, we need those two games on the market, at least two strong titles on the market to be able to go between and have that alternative, or to have both and to be able to go between them when we start to feel sick of one and feel like having a change with the other. So any positive signs for Live 18, very encouraging. We're happy to see.
Yeah, and it would be detrimental in terms of a negative effect if they do that step where they'll not release the Live 19 and then just focus on 20 instead. For all the goodwill that they've done this year and all the positive reaction that they've had and things like that and these new partnerships and stuff, it would just seem like a bad way to kill the momentum that they've built up these past 6 months, or
a big backwards step after.
Yeah,
and I don't see it happening unless, as we said last week, unless they're going to Frostbite, and I think that would be something that they'd be developing in the background anyway, if that's what they're planning to do. So I guess we'll see, but yeah, it continues to be a pretty good year for Live 18. It's doing pretty well compared to its predecessors on this generation, I should say, as far as review scores amongst users and professional reviews. It's gotten better with each patch has come out. Nothing's really been broken, as we've said before, which is incredible with a AAA release, that a patch hasn't broken something.
Well, they did have that small issue, but it was like fixed within like 3 days.
That is right.
The weekend.
That is right. And the rosters, I suppose they've had that issue. And of course, they've got the post trade deadline rosters coming through a couple of weeks ago or a week ago now. So, but they've actually kept it pretty clean with the patches, which is quite impressive.
Yeah.
And we can only hope that the game continues to go from strength to strength, because it's the way they've tweaked it post release has been quite impressive. And it's they've done that in previous years. I felt that Live 14 got better with the big patch, and Live 15 and 16 got better with patches as well. But Live 18, they put in some really good work, and it's I think going to give them great momentum going into Live 19.
Yeah, for sure. Like it definitely feels different from launch and all that stuff. And yeah, like for me, it takes me back to when playing it back in Orlando and that, and you know, feeling how good the game felt back then. It was like it's definitely, you know, yeah. I took it in consideration that they were still adding things at that point. Like I said, you know, they're adding new animations in the following week and all that stuff, and all these new things that they were tweaking, and you know, but yeah, the game felt really good back then, and the game is for me, it's feeling like that again. And it's like, okay, so they're on the right track with it in that sense.
They made some good adjustments. And yeah. It's not like the old days with Live 10, for example, where you get a couple of patches and the second one messes up the game and that's it. Like,
yeah.
Patches are coming through more frequently these days, and that when issues are caused by one patch, if they are caused, usually a patch comes through. And it's been the same with 2K as well. Like back in the day, if you got one or two patches a year, we were cheering. Whereas these days, it's expected, first of all, there's going to be a day one patch, if nothing else.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be at least a few more, depending on content updates and major bug fixes throughout the year, which we just didn't get back in the day. If you go back and look at the patches, even for the PC versions of Live, maybe 5 to 10 patch notes, if lucky, and that's just the one patch per year usually. So the post-release support has gotten a lot better for the games. It's been great to see not just the content updates and the roster updates and things, but also just the fixes that have come through and the tuning updates that have come through fairly frequently. It's been great to see.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So moving on from NBA Live to NBA 2K, there's not a great deal of news about the game that we're all playing, but the game that at least 70,000 people were playing, 72,000 somewhere in that vicinity, I believe, for the NBA 2K League Combine through the month of February, which of course is over now, and we're already in March. Go figure, Ben. It's already March 2018.
It's crazy how fast it's.
It's just like we said last year. It's just we're at that age where it's just starting to speed up. It's scary. But
why couldn't school years feel like this?
Yeah, they took ages to get to school holidays and everything.
And considering you had a lot of public school holidays and that, it still felt like the year just dragged on. But we digress from the topic at hand.
It is the way we are as grumpy old men in our 30s.
Yeah.
So we've got to the top 250 have been selected from the NBA 2K League Combine. So they will be vying for, I think, 102 spots, if I recall correctly, in the actual league itself. So, yeah, I mean, obviously hats off to everybody who's made it through the Combine. Top 250 out of 72,000, that's must have played pretty well on the virtual hardwood, basically.
Yeah, big effort to that, and you know, sort of see if they make it to the next round, obviously.
There's a few prominent names in the community, YouTubers that have actually made it through, I believe. So we could be seeing some familiar faces, or so to speak, familiar handles, making it through to the professional league. And hey, great work if you can get it, being a professional gamer, I suppose. And we'll see how it all turns out when the league actually tips off. As far as the effects on us and comparing it to 2K Prime, a lot of people have said that the Combine has felt a lot of fun, and it seems to be coming down to the archetypes. And of course, we've played a lot of Pro-Am. We'll be talking about Pro-Am a little bit later on, as we so often do. But we've talked before about how certain archetypes feel cheesy and unbalanced and overpowered and so forth. And they do have the restricted 5 archetypes per position in the Combine, which is also going to be what they're going to be doing in the league. You know, it's the fact that it's been apparently a much better experience than the regular Pro-Am, be it squad or walk-on, suggests maybe they do need to dial it back on the archetypes, or at least look at balancing them out for 2K19. And I mean, I probably would have said that even before hearing about the League Combine, but I think it just goes to show how much of an impact the the archetypes have on the experience.
Yeah, you know, like even if they sort of tune half of them, will have maybe like 10, because they've got 5 per position, don't they? So
Yeah, for a total of 25 at the moment.
Yeah, okay, so say they tune it to like 10 per position for live, to gain 19 in that, I think that would be a big improvement. And, you know, that way they can focus and balance them a lot better. Because, yeah, there's so many overpowered ones and just sort of underpowered ones that it's just ridiculous in terms of having the game be enjoyable experience. So, yeah. Sometimes the less is more element does work because you can focus and tune in that properly as opposed to just trying to get too much out there. And again, I'll use it as a principle that Mark Cerny said, you know, when early days of game development, you know, it was more not about quantity, it was about quality.
Absolutely. And I mean, there is merit to having all those hybrid archetypes, and I like the idea of it, or it certainly sounds like a promising idea to me, but by having so many combinations, you are going to have gamers that find ways to min-max and find the cheesy builds and the broken builds and the overpowered builds and the ones that you need to be carried and the ones that are just, you know, the must-haves. And also combining that with height, weight, and wingspan and shoulder length. Like, there's so many things that we've found out, unfortunately, after we've created our players and started mixing them up. What you can do to actually make sure that you have these really strong builds that you don't really have until the game's been out a while and you've been working on it, which kind of sucks. So if you do restrict it, you don't want to be restrictive, but at the same time, you don't want to have all this cheese, basically. So if you can get it so that it's fine-tuned to some realistic archetypes and hybrid archetypes, then obviously it's worked out very well for the Combine. So I think they need to have that for my career and 2K Pro-Am squad and walk-on. It seems to be creating a much better experience.
Yeah, you know, for me, I'm struggling with my player in that, you know, I have a slashing lockdown defender, isn't it, or something like that. And
it's like a two-way slasher, I think you've got.
Yeah.
What they call it.
And most of the time, just, like, particularly last night, I just felt like my character's defense was just useless in that sense. I mean, part of habit was I probably fell back to old habits where I play as a center, and so I'm more used to like playing in like a 2-3 zone and playing in the post section. So I think that kind of screwed me. But still, like, yeah, not being able to essentially do that lockdown defense and stuff like that, you know, trying to do some of the tricks and stuff, it's just not working for my player in that. So yeah.
Well, you know, I've felt not particularly happy with the sharpshooting playmaker. I feel that it's not really giving me the best of both worlds, or it's probably giving me more playmaker than sharpshooter. And playmaker is my primary archetype, I suppose, so it stands to reason. But not being able to dunk, despite having the ratings, I got excited that I actually threw it on down last night when we played on the fast break, but. It took me running ahead of the whole pack to do it, and of course I've disabled all my fancy dunks, so I just did this one-hander on the break. But you know, I just being able to sneak back door and when you've got space and just being able to throw it down, like a 6'4 playmaker with a fairly high dunk rating for the position should be able to. But
yeah.
I think the thing that really bothered me is that, as you pointed out, there's a trophy for getting a badge to Hall of Fame level.
Yeah, well, I hadn't pointed that out yet to the podcast, but yeah, last night I finally unlocked Hall of Fame Posterizer.
Yeah,
and yeah, you get a trophy for it, and it's like, well, I know there's a lot of trophy hunters out there, and if their archetypes doesn't have a Hall of Fame one, then there's something that they can't potentially platinum the game if they wanted to in that sense.
Well, that's right, and I, you know, speaking of which, the sharpshooting playmaker archetype, which is primary playmaking, secondary three-point shooting, sharpshooter. If you that doesn't have any Hall of Fame badges, it's got a fair amount of gold and silver for shooting and such, but there is no Hall of Fame level badge. So to get that Hall of Fame level badge, I would have to create a second player. Which, of course, means I'd probably want to buy some VC to grind up quicker. You know, wouldn't I? And and go through all the grind of the badges. And that's the problem. I mean, with all the assists I get, I probably would be, if I was a pure playmaker, I probably would actually have the Hall of Fame playmaking badge, the Hall of Fame Dimer badge by now in my career, the way I'm getting all the 18 and 20 plus assist games in my career. But yeah, like you say, if you're an achievement hunter, a trophy hunter, in gaming, and you want to get that, well, you either have to know which badges you're going to get and that you can't get a Hall of Fame, or you can get a Hall of Fame badge, or start a second player. And that's a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just, I think, very short-sighted to have that when you can't necessarily get a Hall of Fame badge on every archetype. And it goes back to, you know, I look back at some of the developer blogs from the previous season for 2K18. They're talking about how you can have all these choices with archetypes and none of them are going to have any problems. You know, it's your choice and everything. And it really feels like a lie. Like, it really hasn't worked out. I don't think they really tested or balanced the archetypes properly, because it certainly matters. And even, you know, just for gameplay, it matters. But then to also throw it on top of, well, some of them you can't get a Hall of Fame badge, but there's a trophy for getting it. You know, it just seems so short-sighted, and like one hand's not talking to the other.
Yeah. Again, you know, this is an area that 2K hasn't been too good at in recent years, and it, you know, that there'll be elements of miscommunication or just not upfront about stuff in that sort of sense. So, you know, we don't find out till post-release, and in particular the last 2 years is when things like that has happened, where you know, things with regards to like the online My League and stuff like that, you know, we didn't find out, we couldn't do what we were trying to do after release, and just other issues in terms of that sort of thing. So that, you know, that again, this is just a failure to communicate and all that sense. So,
bit of cool, you know, there, failure to communicate.
Yeah.
No, we've said it before that they're not good at communicating. Well, not bad at communicating, perhaps, period. But certainly, they really don't like delivering bad news, which is understandable. But if there's one thing that EA does, and I guess you could cynically say, oh, well, they've had a lot of bad news to deliver with the NBA Live series over the years, but they don't shy away from saying those things and giving us the details. Like, you go back and look at our old interviews where we'd say, oh, is this in the game? And they would say, you know, no, unfortunately not this year. It is on the list or whatever. And, you know, they would be very upfront and answer the question, whereas 2K just sort of, you know, waffles on and then sort of mutters the answer
up. VC.
Yeah. Hashtag list. You know, it's... And, I mean, they do have a great game normally. I think people would be more forgiving and understanding if they gave a straight answer and a reason and said, well, this is the way it is, and here's a quick reason why it's the way it is. But they just don't give the information. I mean, we still don't know how many wins you need to get to elite level. We don't know the criteria for elite level in Pro-Am. They didn't really come out with that. They just don't give us the information, and it's...
Yeah, and that was, again, another issue from last year. They didn't tell us how many... You know, and trying to find out and how different teams got it so randomly, like when we did and all that stuff. So, yeah, there was no clarity or, you know, just in terms of anything and knowing what the hell's going on. It does beg the question, you know, do they even know what the hell's going on?
Is it random? Is it randomly unlocked because people seem to have unlocked it after 100 games, after 20 games, if they've had a good enough record? It's tough to say. So it would just be nice to get a straight answer on it, and that is a problem, as we've said before. But in any case, that is something they'll have to fix up in 2K19, I believe, to really answer this. And hopefully they will. I mean, hopefully they won't say, oh, we're doing so well, we can just ignore this, because there are problems with the game that do need to be fixed. And I do believe the developers give a damn. I do believe the development team does, but, you know, is it higher-ups wanting to make money and it's interfering with the creative process?
Yeah, you know, that is a massive question with a lot of games that are coming out these days. You know, do the actual developers want to include these practices, or, you know, do they want to have the game being, you know, a more user-friendly experience and not just completely, like, try and empty people's wallets in that sense? So, yeah.
treat us like ATMs, basically.
Yeah.
I'm not the ATM that's in the start, in the introduction of my career this year. Be fresh. So, the League Combine, obviously, over with. We're on 250 gamers onto the next stage. And maybe, you know, we'll see some prominent names make it through to the actual league.
Yep. I just want to bring up one thing, just in case we do move over to the next subject in that. I guess 2K have been promoting, you know, the primetime My Team stuff. Not too much information, just sort of teaser about that at this point. So I guess we'll know more by next week, maybe. Who knows?
You know, I do like the card collecting modes. I've been getting into Ultimate Team this year, as I've said. But My Team, I think I've been turned off by all the pre-order packs being so terrible. Like, if you were going to give away packs for pre-ordering the game, and they're all mostly bronze players and doubles at that, you know, just seeing the better pools that you get in Ultimate Team, I just don't feel that inclined to get into My Team this year. Or I guess I'm a little bit burned out on 2K after some of the issues of playing it in other modes. But with that being said, yeah, it will be interesting to see what they're actually talking about there. Obviously, some speculation at the moment. Prime teams. Players from Team 2K, maybe? Plus some historical players?
Yeah, that's what I'm starting to think. Whether, you know, it's... Or, yeah, players from back in their prime time. Like, maybe like a when T-Mac, when he was at his best sort of thing.
Like 93 Jordan, 96 Penny, 2000 Shaq, that kind of thing. Yeah, I could see that. That'd be a cool pack. But of course, the big problem with the packs with My Team is, for example, the historical packs. If you buy a historical pack, you have a quote small chance of getting a historical player. Now, if I'm buying a historical pack, I want it to get an historical player. I don't even care if it's Craig Hodges. I don't care if it's Marty Conlon. I just want a retro player from my retro pack. Because if you get a legend pack in live, you get a legend player. You may not get the one you want, but you will get a throwback player. But for a throwback pack to have a small chance of having a throwback player, I think that's just asinine. I think that's totally defeating the purpose.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. You know, it's kind of a BS promotional like title of a pack. Then if you're not gonna get what is in, I guess, the description in that sense, in terms of it being a legend pack, it's just kind of pointless then.
And considering a lot of the
expenses, might as well call it a random pack.
Might as well. You know, you should not be getting a current player. Again, by all means, don't necessarily give away your Jordans and your Shaqs and Kobes. Maybe you do end up getting a few Will Perdues and Marty Conlons and all kinds of other players first. But if you're getting a throwback pack, you should get a throwback player of some kind, and with maybe a smaller chance of getting a top tier legend for sure. But it should at least be a retro player like it is in live. Now, with this prime pack, is it going to be the same kind of thing? We have a small chance of getting this prime player, most likely. So if you're going to spend $10,000 to $15,000 or whatever, not dollars, virtual currency. Well, if you work it out in universe dollars, it's a fair amount. But if you're going to spend $10,000 to $15,000 VC on a My Team pack for these prime players, whatever they are, let's say it is like prime Jordan, etc., and you end up getting a Cameron Payne out of that, that's ridiculous. For that much VC, and that's, you know, I did that comparison video of the box opening versus the real pack opening last year for My Team versus real card packs, yeah. And the odds weren't too bad when you buy a box, but the individual packs, yeah, the odds are not fantastic, especially compared to what they're supposed to be, and if you're buying that, if you're spending that much VC or MT on that pack, and it's meant to have those players, by all means, have a smaller odds of getting the top tier players from that selection, but you know, for you to open that pack and get a bronze bench warmer, basically, it's just ridiculous, you know, and it's just, again, encourages you to buy more VC, which is a lot quicker to get if you paid real dollars for it, and it's just not goodwill. But I suppose we'll see what that is. We'll cover that a little bit, since I do have an interest in My Team and the card collecting modes, and I actually bought some real basketball cards a couple of weeks ago, Ben, just for the first...
Nice.
I'm thinking of doing it every year or so, just a couple of packs, just to open it, just for old time's sake, because I did enjoy doing it last year, so I thought, oh, well, I'll get a couple of packs. It's only Panini doing it now.
that's so weird, like, not to see, like, Upper Deck and
Upper
things
Deck
like
and Fleer and so forth. It's Panini NBA Hoops. They're doing it at the moment. Panini got the exclusive deal in 2009, apparently. I didn't know this because, again, I hadn't collected cards since 1998. So
I... Yeah, I was the same back in, like, high school. So,
I wasn't aware of that until I was looking around for it, but they are doing it. So I did get 4 packs of that, so I'll have to open that sometime. Might make another video about that. I need to earn the VC to maybe do some pack openings, compare it to 2K18 if I can get that. Of course, last year I got over 200,000 VC at one point.
Yeah.
But just playing through my career, so I was just able to buy a couple of boxes. It was a lot easier. This year they're going to want me to do the. I could have got the JB Hi-Fi pack, I suppose. I didn't act on that, but. I'll see how that goes. But
missed opportunity
to give 2K money. I know, tragic. But I'll open those packs, both virtual and real, and it's fun. Although opening packs in game, you can at least do a little bit more with those. Real cards just kind of sit in the folder to be collected. You can at least play games with the virtual ones. And speaking of playing games, it's time to go and have a look at our week in basketball gaming.
It looks simple, but it's hard to execute.
Go and have a look. That's what happens when you don't record at the usual time. So, we mentioned 2K Pro-Am, as we always did. It was a rough session. I think we're all going to be taking next week off. Well, I know X is, because he has some... He's got some other matters to... some social events to attend, and I think he's quite happy to take it the week off anyway. And after last night, I do not blame him, because... It was one of those sessions, as he said when we were talking about it, that one of those sessions where that does drive us away from the game, that drove us away from it a couple of months ago, where we just had to put it aside for a few weeks.
Yeah, it did feel really rough and just didn't feel polished that last night. I mean, some of it, small part in our own, in terms of we probably didn't do as much spacing as we did.
Our spacing
in recent
weeks was terrible. We were very rusty. You know, we didn't have a. We were kind of playing a bit out of control, but even the it also felt like we were being screwed over as well with just missing the wide open shots with good releases. And I know there's that issue with the shooting mechanics this year, which is why I want them to change it, because the whole idea of nerfing that good release, it just doesn't work online, because if you don't get the green release, you don't make the shot, basically.
Yeah.
Sometimes I make a worse release if it's slightly early or slightly late. That's when I make it, and it's. It's just not... I know what they were going for. I don't think it's worked out how they wanted it to.
Yeah, and, you know, we were noticing a lot more with... was it like a rim protector or something? Like, they're just... They don't even have to contest the play, and they seem to somehow manage to hinder you being able to make an easy basket, in that sense, just because they were within, like, a certain proximity of the player and that, and... Again, that sort of unbalanced tuning and stuff that needs to be fixed in the game as well. Just, you know, if they're not contesting the shot, they shouldn't be able to somehow alter it magically, like the will of the force kind of thing.
I get what they're going for, because, again, the presence of a strong rim protector does throw people off when they're driving in the lane, obviously.
Yeah.
But not to the point, especially not when their back is turned, like, and they're just in the vicinity. If they don't have their hands up, and it's a simple layup, and it's a player who can finish well around the rim, it shouldn't have that much of an impact. It's just, as you say, unbalanced and overpowered. And that has been the problem with Badgers. Last year as well, but this year especially, and the fact you've really got to grind for them, everything about Badgers this year, it's felt like good ideas, just not poorly... It's just not well done. Good ideas, poor execution, basically.
Yeah, I agree with that. And just too much work for... what they are in that sense. And then, like, yeah, the fact that half the time some of the badges don't even work, and then some are just completely overpowered, and they're just abusive in terms of things. So yeah, it's that quality control, and again, why I think 2K19 should be a polished year as opposed to bells and whistles year.
Yeah, no gimmicks, just that return to that core experience and. Yeah, really polishing everything, and it's. I got. I I don't want to be nasty and cynical, but has anybody really looked at the grading logic since 2K15? Because I got bad transition offense for running to one of my spots for the spot up three, and I don't even think it was transition. I think we actually had it on the inbound as well.
Because I think I gotten the rebound and I kicked it out to, I think, Leo, and you were on the left wing.
That's
you
right.
Know, almost going for that corner,
it was transition.
Spot.
It was a transition play. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and yeah, so you were on your own. You didn't have a defender against you, but you were heading out to that potentially in that corner three spot to, you know, potentially knock down a shot or, you know, do a late cut to the basket in that sense. And yeah, you got hit with that bad transition offense, and yet you were ahead of the play. You weren't, you know, lingering behind the ring down the other end, and that you were ahead of the play, which just, that was just stupid.
It just sort of randomly hits you with these deductions, which contributes to VC loss because grade does go towards that. And of course, you can be graded out. I don't think I've been graded out this year though. I think I've only quit this year when I've been so disgusted with a game. What else was there? Oh, the charge. People drawing charges at half court again. And X brought this up, and it's a pretty good point, I think. But do you think we'll see some more of those cheesy players back in 2K Pro-Am now that the league is over and done with?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially ones that would probably be bitter that they didn't make the league or... In that sense, you know,
there is a few people who are salty about that. There are a few people, so we might be seeing some more people coming back into it, because last week we had a pretty good run, and I know trying to incorporate the four of us after running with the 3-man squad and the 2 AIs last week, there is the adjustment there, but again, all the bad stuff was coming, and we played four games, was it, last night?
Yeah, four games.
We probably should have only played two. We're given a rest after that, but we gave it a bit of a go. Was it what we won the third one though, didn't we?
Yeah, we won the third one, lost the last one.
Yeah, so at least we got one win, but everything was on there. The just weird turnovers, ball warping through me. I showed you that video of me defending that point guard, and he's dribbling through me, and then the ball warps back through me into his hand. And I mean, they talk about Live having last gen issues, and there are some last gen issues and animations in Live, don't get me wrong, but it's really strange to see the way 2K has taken some steps back over the last couple of years, especially this year, like, because 2K has been such a great game for so many years. It's really strange just some of the way it's gone backwards in terms of physicality and clipping.
Oh yeah, this year has just been the worst for it. I've never seen a basketball video game that bad in terms of clipping. I know...
Not for a couple of generations, anyway. It's just...
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak on like the next-gen versions of 06 and 07 because...
They were 360, they weren't,
yeah. Yeah, and... But yeah, I just don't remember it being that horrendous. Like, where, again, you know, you can set a screen and they'll just clip right through you, or... You just stand right there with your hands up in the air, and again, they'll just clip right through you. And it's frustrating because it makes it pointless in trying to, you know, play good defense, or, you know, you're not even just trying to steal the ball randomly, and that you're actually just trying to have some physical presence in the key and that, or in the post, and to stop them from, yeah, it's just that frustration. And again, how I keep stressing that this next game has got to be polished here.
It just feels like the whole new motion system they put in and the new physics this year, that they don't really seem that well tested. It's I'm not saying they haven't been, but they don't seem like they were quite ready yet, because the blow-by animations are really overpowered, especially when you're playing against a CPU, as I'm sure you found out with being a slasher as well, being able to get to the rim at ease, and the aforementioned overpowered badges, things like that. But yeah, and the thing is that none of the reviews have really mentioned it. No. Which, and it's very obvious, all the warping and the clipping issues, and Well, sometimes it clips and sometimes it's a body steal. It's a body steal whenever the CPU does it, basically. Yep. It's just that there's frustrating inconsistency on top of that. I mean, if I could get away with the same things, I'd be saying, well, okay, fair's fair. At least it's going both ways. But unfortunately, it doesn't.
Mm.
And of course, the canned moments, all the bad catches we were getting, and the CPU players making the blind steals, the backs turned, supposedly wasn't supposed to be happening. As you noted, the rim protectors, the 7-3 rim protectors, being able to challenge shots with their backs turned away from the play. And also the really tall players having those really quick animations you can't do anything with the quick flushes. Every single dunk is a quick flush.
Yeah, and it's like a half second split action dunk, and it's like, and they just rock it out of nowhere, and it's like, okay.
You talk about the rocket dunks in live, it's certainly an issue in 2K as well, just a different kind. They may look a bit better, the animations, but it's still, they play out far too quickly when they make a 7'3" player. And it's just gotten to the point again where I think we need to take another break, which is a shame because we were having some decent sessions where we were going 500 or a couple of games over 500 in a session, but we were having fun. But last night was just, I don't think we can do that for a couple of weeks.
No, I can definitely see us taking at least 2 weeks off in that sort of sense, which is, you know, disappointing in that sort of sense. Again, it's the catching, you know, just the, you know, the ability to sort of catch up with you guys, and in terms of just the chatting and the social element of it, you know, that's what I enjoy most of when we are playing, and that, and, you know, the jokes and stuff, and have little digs, or, you know, in terms of like, yeah, all right, last night I was coming because one of the players that I was playing against, you know, their username, you know, it was all in good humor and all that stuff. So yeah, again, just sort of things that, yeah, kills the momentum of enjoying the game when that stuff happens.
I mean, a few of us have Live 18, of course, and play that, so maybe we can try some live events or some live run. That's always an option. But the problem is, it's the camera in live run is just, I haven't been able to find one that I really like, and I find that it is still a bit, online is still a bit choppy because they don't have Australian servers, or I'm pretty sure they don't, considering the lag we get. So. Mm. That is the problem with live online this year, and why I would like more offline content in live, because online is not always viable. So I guess I'll be sticking to Ultimate Team. Clyde Drexler is one of the legends this week. They've got the Blazers legends in Ultimate Team.
Okay.
So apparently he's pretty good, pretty good finisher, as you would expect Clyde the Glide to be with his in his prime dunk rating. So might look at trying to get him and Bill Walton as well.
With regards to live online, and I've had smoother experiences lately, so it hasn't been as bad. Like, and again, it's just usually just a few seconds where it's just sort of, you know, frame rate a little sort of laggish, but you're able to relatively keep up just after a few seconds of play and that. But yeah,
I had an online Ultimate Team game the other week that just pretty unplayable. I was amazed that I kept as competitive as I was. Jump shots I couldn't do. Like the meter was just so laggy, I overshot every single one.
Okay.
So that is something that needs to be addressed for international. I don't think it's an issue in the US, but for international users, definitely needs to be something there. And again, why I'd like to see more offline content, because it can't all be online, because if it's all online, it's just not a good experience compared to what they're getting in the US, I believe, because we don't have the local server. But some have been better than others, but yeah, the main thing for me, I guess, apart from that, is the camera angle, because I just haven't found one that I really like, especially since the camera follows you and not it follows the ball and not you.
Yeah,
that is the big problem with Live's player locked mode cameras, which they really need to do. Even if you're playing on the broadcast, which gives you the better view of the court, the whole court, it's still following the ball. So if you're behind the play, it's focusing on the ball, so you're trying to catch up and find out where you are.
Yeah,
it's definitely something I need to fix in Live 19. Just trying to think. I don't think I've done a lot else this week. It's been one of those weeks where I've just been trying to catch up on everything else. And, of course, the other thing I was doing was the modding, I suppose, which has been fun to get back into.
Yeah, well, for me, I've created my second player in life.
Mm-hmm.
And for the prime events, and I've made it more of a hybrid wing. So, in a sense, Greek Freak sort of Montecupo sort of player,
yep,
in that sense. So a bit more of a better dunk rating, you know, better dunk packages and stuff like that. I think I could get up to level 5 sort of legendary type dunks now, so that's pretty cool.
How are you finding the progression system having built up the other player?
So much easier, and you know, it's just amazing how much quicker it is. Like on the online element, I'm already like in terms of, because you got kind of, it's sort of two ways in sort of level up and all that. And I think I'm already like a 13 or 14 or something on the online side of things,
which should give you a few skill points.
Yeah, I've leveled up my dunk packages a few times, rebounding, and even I think I even did my jump shot, and I'm pretty close to unlocking the next option in that sort of sense. So from that, it'll probably be something like layups and stuff like that. I'll upgrade, and or maybe if I can remember if there's like a defensive one. But again, what's great, you know, the things that you've unlocked with the other player, you know, again with the customization stuff, transfers over. So, you know, you're not having to sort of double dip in that sort of element. Some of the badges as well, but I don't think I've had too many of the same types of badges yet. So I haven't got any of my gold ones from my previous player at that stage again, because they're different players. Maybe with one of the two of the things from when I can unlock them further with the other traits and stuff like that, I might be able to use a couple of those. But yeah, it's definitely a lot easier and a less painful system in terms of the amount of time and hours you have to spend grinding. You know, being able to pretty much level up pretty consistently, like after one or two games here and there, depending how well you play and stuff like that. Just trying to think. I haven't set the player to do any of like the NBA element of the one yet. So this one is probably going to be more the live event sort of player that I run with in that, and then I might
more,
do
more
the other.
More the streets.
Yeah, yeah. So again, that's something where you can completely focus that player on. I might do the intro part of it for the, so that way I can do like the Pro-Am circuit element, you know, and that way I can sort of try and level up kind of offline in that sort of sense.
Definitely, definitely.
So I might do that just to, because it'll be able to level up a bit quicker in that sort of sense.
And like you say, it's more viable compared to leveling up, because this year, of course, in 2K, you can level up in Pro-Am and the Playground, but it's a much longer grind compared to my career as far as the XP for the badges and whatnot.
Especially in the park, just how slow that is.
You see people who are rated 93 overall and they've got about 2,500 games played, and you're like, wow, you've just really been playing nothing but park, and that's how you've gotten that high, but you've had to play 2,000 games? Hundreds of hours of playing that. So
we're under what, 30 games, like 25, 30 games or something, aren't we?
In the park in
play. Yeah.
Something like that. Maybe 30, somewhere between 30 and 40 perhaps. Yeah. Plus how many, over 100 games of Pro-Am now, a few games of walk-on, and you've played a couple of seasons of my career. I've played
About a season and a half.
In your second season.
Yep.
And I'm up to January now, so okay.
I'm still. I'm up to December 21 at the stage from memory.
So you haven't quite lapped me just yet. So no. It's, but and you see how much that is, and you're up to what, 91, 92 now?
91 and about 30 something percent to
next cap breaker. Yeah.
Yeah, whether that means I can upgrade to 92 is uncertain at this stage, but I'm having a feeling I'm gonna have to. It'll be another cap breaker before I do that, I have a feeling.
But I suppose, being in my career, I did get the custom colorways. I unlocked those, and I've got my shoot. I did my my commercial shoot with that, with Be Fresh putting in her 2 cents, which there was no shut up Be Fresh option. There's no we need conversation options just to do that.
Yeah.
So I've kind of progressed through through that, but I just haven't been hooked like last year. I've basically been playing my career just to get to build the 2K Pro-Am player, and of course I can't even dunk. I wouldn't mind if, because that's my problem, is that if I'm not hitting threes, I'm not really scoring at the moment. Because last year I'd hit threes, but I'd also go inside and make layups and dunks. So this year, yeah, it's a little bit limited. So that's,
and again,
there's still part of me that is tempted to try and grind up that extra player, because I do have that second player and I've got a bunch of VC at the moment. I'm tempted just to give it a go and see if a fixed version works. Like, I'll lose some of the shirts and things. Well, I won't delete my previous player, but if I can just have that for Pro-Am, maybe. I'm still tempted, but it's just a lot of grinding is the only problem.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and what they've done with the game, that, you know, how much work, you got to be certain that you want to stick with that player. And again, because you get from the Prelude thing, you get so locked in from that player from the beginning, and you don't really get a chance to trial and error with other players and go, no, this is the kind of player that works for me in that sense. You know, that's an area where 2K need to work on. And I think what Live did this year with what their system does is the way to go, because, yeah, it gives you that ability to go, okay, well, I like the elements of this player, but I want to be able to do a bit more of this. So, and then having that option and how easy it is to definitely, especially after now doing it, of changing a player and then, or creating a second player, and how less of a grind it and painful it is just amazing world of difference. I'll tell you that much. And it definitely makes the game fun in that sense, because if you, and again, it'll give you that longevity of playing it, because you'd be doing something a little bit different and new in that sort of sense. So yeah,
and it goes back to something we've discussed before. Like, 2K doing great this year as far as sales, microtransactions, and people playing every day, but you've really got to put in that time if you want to really work to have any kind of fun. So people, are they going to want to go through this grind again in 2K19? And that's the thing. I mean, every year you've got to grind up from a player who probably shouldn't even be anywhere close to making the league, let alone being a star. Every single year you've got to grind up or pay for VC and get it, of course. The fact you've got to do that every single year, and this year has been the most unpleasant grind. I mean, as far as getting 2K next year, I'll be getting it to do coverage for the site. But if I'm playing it and spending any time, I think I'll just be going to my league. I think I'll be having to give my career away if it's anything like this year.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, 2K17's grind was pretty bad. But the story was pretty decent, so it was a kind of trade off there. But I don't want it to even be the grind length of 2K17. I can't remember too much of 16, although I just remember how painful the living the dream story was in that sort of sense. So there's definitely, and if they're gonna go as probably the term that they'll probably want to be as robust, then it's just gonna be horrific going for 400-hour grind with the one player, and you know, if you've committed not only time but even potentially money to get the player to where you want it to be, then yeah, to make the game fun, then good luck to you, because yeah, I'm definitely not doing that for 2K19.
Yeah, I thought 2K17, it was a grind, but not too bad, and I liked being able to just earn the badges as they were. I liked having the team practices, just being able to do them every other day. And not having to, once you got up to a certain level, you could probably skip some of the extra training sessions, the optional practice sessions, unless you really wanted to grind for the cap breakers. But in 2K18, you've pretty much got to do a team training after every single game.
Yeah.
Or you're losing chances to work on the badges, basically. And it just feels like so much work, and the badges being so overpowered. And, you know, I guess we've said it all and said it all before at this point, but it's, it has felt like a chore. It has felt less fun. We've really had to work to try and have fun, and we have had fun, but it's I think it's just not been as fun as last year, and that's been disappointing.
That's true. Actually, I do remember a little bit more about 2K16. There was elements that I did like, and it was more the way you played, and like
it was more, yeah, the way you'd played was how you defined your playing style. Like, you can unlock, you can do all these things, but it was all based on about how you played. And that allowed for abilities, you know, instead of there being certain play, you know, set archetypes and stuff, it was more you defining your ability. So I did like that. You know, you weren't locked into a certain stereotype or archetype in this sort of thing. You could define how you wanted to play. And then obviously this, the things that you achieve playing the game, you know, you built up the badges or the skills and traits and that from how you played and not how the game told you how to play in that sort of sense. So I think I did enjoy elements of that of 16. And then when they made a couple of little changes in 17, I was like, I can sort of see what they're going for. But again, it felt like that it was kind of restricting you to be this type of player only. And then they kind of went a little bit of a hybrid between the two, between 16 and 17 with the dual archetype system. But yeah, just the how much work it is to do it now is just a trap.
And also things like the clutch badge that you just get automatically at certain levels that you had to earn through coming through in the clutch in previous games. Being able to get the microwave badge and things like that, you had to earn them, and you'd earn those badges the same way as the other ones. And it's, I see, it's just like so many things, I see what they were going for. I just don't think it was thought through well enough, like the shooting mechanics or the badge progression and things like that. Good ideas in theory and with good intentions, but I think they needed to think them through a little bit more. And sometimes you can change too much. You want to implement new things and you want to improve, but you can go the wrong way. So it's like,
look what happened with Elite 11.
Oh yeah, trying to reinvent the wheel, and it just totally set the series back. And 2K hasn't made a mistake that big yet, but if there is that focus on the league and the fact that the Combine what was better than Pro-Am, I mean, we're the paying customers, we should be getting the premium experience, or we should be getting experience just as good as what they're doing for the 2K league.
Exactly your point, you know, that you're sort of biting the hand that feeds you in that sort of sense, and you don't want to do that. And I'll reference a video that I saw with Agent 00 where he's talking about, a lot of players sort of potentially leaving and playing more Fortnite and how their reward system and all that stuff. And again, it's like with Live's reward system in that this year. He hasn't really played Live, so he hadn't really commented on it, but a few people had addressed that, you know, this is what it's like playing Live and how much fair and balanced the system is in that way. Just a lot of the comments, you know, people stopped playing 2K months ago from November to 2 months ago and stuff like that. You know, they've just been playing Fortnite more because it is a more enjoyable experience and more fun and rewarding in that sort of sense. And I think that's going to be a danger to 2K moving ahead. You know, if they continue going the route that they're going, I think people are happily walking away from, will happily walk away from their game. I can see that happening within the next 2 years where they'll be like, oh, okay, we messed up really badly, that we've only gone from like 8.5 to potentially 9 million sales to maybe somewhere between the 4 to 6 million sales because people are walking away from the game.
Boycotting the game, you know, it's what we said before, no one's too big to fail, basically.
Exactly.
So hopefully we do have some better times on the virtual hardwood moving forward. We'll guess we'll keep playing a bit of Ultimate Team, a bit of My Career here and there, and of course the One, the Streets, and the live events. Maybe get a bit more live run as well going. But it might be some, maybe at least a couple of weeks before we try Pro-Am again.
Yeah, I think so as well.
But that has brought us to the end of episode number 239 of the NLSC podcast. We hope you enjoyed us talking about a bit of basketball video games. We don't really have much to say about the NBA this week. Maybe return to that next week. It's all been all about the basketball games. But hey, that's pretty much what we cover at the site, so pretty sure most people wanted to hear about that anyway. But if you enjoyed listening to the show, we encourage you to subscribe on iTunes. You can also find us on the Stitcher app for Android and iOS devices. Search for NLSC Podcast, look for our logo, that will be us. Or keep streaming on the NLSC itself as long as you're tuning in each and every week and enjoying what we have to say. That is the main thing. You can also connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter at the NLSC. Facebook is facebook.com/the NLSC. And we're also on Instagram, which is NLSC Basketball. And of course, keep it locked to the NLSC itself, NBA-live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. But that is it for this week. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And we're out like 70,000 people from the League Combine.
Oof.
Hey, we weren't even qualified, so.
Yeah.